Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Susie Zimmerman and Kyla Myers, who have both just taken on new exciting roles in the ICES organization. We'll be talking about ICES and other clubs and shows and all of the issues that pertain to that whole part of this industry. Plus, two happy ICES members called in their thoughts on their organization. So whether you're deep in the thick of decorating, cleaning up afterwards, or traveling between events, it's time to get this show started to hopefully inspire and educate you as you do what you need to do. Joining me now are two of my favorite people in the cake world, Susie Zimmerman and Kyla Myers. And actually, I should just have you introduce yourselves with your new exciting titles from ICES.
I'm Susie Zimmerman, and I am the new president for ICES, the International Cake Exploration Society.
And I'm Kyla Myers, and I'm a three-title holder. Yay! I blame Susie for this. She yelled at me at the actual meeting for saying that. But I've got three chairman titles for internet, publicity, and social media. So she's planning to keep me busy.
Well, you didn't have anything to do going into it.
Right.
You're like one of the most laid-back, boring, unbusy people in cake. That's why we call
Absolutely.
You the Cake Nexus.
Cake Nexus!
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Susie had nothing to do either.
No.
You guys just took this on as an extra hobby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gluttons for punishment, I think, is what we are.
I think Kyla put it best. If we're going to love an organization, we have to be willing to work on its behalf. Otherwise, it doesn't give us the right to complain about things that are going wrong.
Absolutely. It's easy to complain. I mean, that's how I ended up with Capital Confectioners, isn't it? It's easy to complain. But if you see an organization who's struggling a little bit and you think, you know, I've got something I could offer that organization and you care about it, well, then it's time to step up and do something.
Well, that's how you roped me into Capital Confectioners, too, as I recall.
Oh, did I do that?
Yeah. Remember that whole thing where I said, I will always help you, but please don't ever make me be on the board? And then I was like, fine, I'll be on the board, but don't make me an officer. And then I was secretary. And then
where it starts.
Right.
That's
and then I moved starts. To the other side of the planet, and you guys wouldn't let me quit. They seriously wouldn't. Susie, they wouldn't let me quit. I was like, when I first knew that we were coming out here temporarily and we had a board meeting and I said, just so you guys know, we've got this visa through Corin's work and we're going to go to England for a year. So I'm going to have to step down as secretary. And Jennifer just said, no. I'm like, well, but I'll be gone for a year. It's okay. We can patch you in. We can patch you into meetings. I'm like, but I'm going to miss the show. It's okay. You can still be secretary. I'm like, no, guys. Okay. We kept having meetings over the internet, kind of like we're doing now. But then I said, we've figured out now we can be permanently here. You need another secretary. And there was like, and I was like, make it Carol. Carol's very good.
But you're not getting off the hook that easily.
No, I'm still Kyla's willing slave and minion anytime she asks.
That PR letters and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know how it is, like you get older and your vocabulary gets worse and your grammar gets worse. And I'm always like, Kim.
Yes, I will still write things. And I guess now, since I'm Kyla's willing slave for all things, I guess, have I been co-opted to be a slave by proxy for ISIS now?
Absolutely. We will sign you up, signed, sealed, and delivered today.
I guess I should join.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll make that happen.
I was a member the year that the show was in Las Vegas because I lived in Las Vegas. So I became a member and went to the show. But then I couldn't really travel around after that. So I kind of just let it lapse. Now that I'm aware that our mutual friend Jackie Kelly is the representative here in the UK and you guys seem to be taking on some fresh, exciting things that you should tell our audience about, then maybe Jackie and I should, I don't know, do something here in all our free time that we totally have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. There's new things like digital membership, which is really great. It saves us money, for one thing, which is nice. We don't have to print the newsletters out, but you've also got the access to them all the time. And I think soon you'll have access to the back issues as well. And there's a lot of new content on the website, too, that's available to members.
Yeah, I saw that. So the digital thing is like, it's $45. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's $45 instead of the normal $60. We passed the savings of the printed magazine on to you. But it's great. You can get it from your phone or any of your devices. You're not just limited to one access point.
That's cool. Yeah, and especially, I just got a shiny new phone.
There you go.
That can actually read documents on the internet, unlike my old phone.
Exactly. And then another benefit of the digital is that you can search it. You know how nice that is to be able to say, oh, I remember there was a tutorial on such and such or by such and such. And you can go in the little search tool and type in a name or a keyword, and bingo, there it is.
Yeah, I keep thinking about that. I just cleaned my desk here, and I actually found all my Cake Masters magazines and, like, sorted them in order. And I'm like, yeah, but I still don't know what's in which thing. And I keep thinking, should I just get a digital subscription? But I'd like looking through the paper. And because I live here in the UK, the Cake Masters is relatively inexpensive magazine for me here, right?
Right.
So, and it's a really nice magazine. So I kind of, like, don't want to unsubscribe, but I still would like to search somehow. Like, it's like, do you remember, I'm old. So, do you remember Consumer Reports? Consumer Reports would give you an index every year. Before they had a website, they used to send out every year with your Consumer Reports magazine, they would send you out the little book so you could look up that they did washing machines in, you know, March of 1994. And then again in 1998, like, and they would, so you could go back in your old magazines to see where they'd done washing machines because you needed to buy a new washing machine or cat carriers or, you know, whatever it was that they'd reviewed in Consumer Reports. So it was a thick little index.
It's time to go digital.
Yeah. Well, so now they've gone digital. Yeah. But
it's just so much easier. The little search bar, just go for it.
Yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, I know what you mean though. I mean, it is nice sometimes to have something in your hand that you can do that's pretty and shiny. But I think, you know, for the newsletter, I think that the digital is definitely the way to go.
I think so, too. I should probably get on that.
Yeah, get on that.
Sign up. Well, because, okay, so you guys obviously are coming in, and I know from speaking to you both many times about these things, it's not news to anyone that some of these older organizations like British Sugar Craft Guild and ICES have had some attrition problems and things like that. And so part of what you guys are trying to do is modernize things and get stuff going. So what can we look forward to?
Well, before we do anything, we have to stabilize the organization financially. ICES used to be a very rich organization, and not by mismanagement or anything else, just by general course of events. We do not have that financial cushion that we once had. So we have to really look at where things are going and how we spend our money. We definitely need to modernize the organization, both in terms of the website, social media, and PR. Kyla. And then also modernizing and streamlining our conventions. I don't see our conventions ever going away because we are not a trade show. ICES is a family. And the conventions serve more purpose than simply just showing up, looking at vendors, and taking some classes. It's about the people and mentoring and education and programs and scholarships and all the other trappings, which some think are, yes, old, but it's how to bring those relevant to modern sugar artists.
Yeah, and definitely in line with that is the reducing our footprint at our conventions so that we're not taking up such a huge amount of space, which will also, you know, cut our finances in that realm. So it'll be cheaper for us to do, more attractive because it'll be easier to get around in between classes and stuff. So I think that's, you know, definitely one of the areas where we can cut some fat and make it nicer to attend.
Finding the perfect venue space is something definitely we've experienced with Capital Confectioners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So because I know in Austin, it was this whole thing. Well, there's the convention center, which was way out of our budget and way too big. And then we had the old North Austin Event Center, which became unavailable. But we'd outgrown that. So it's kind of lucky that the Round Rock thing fell in our laps because I don't know what we would have done otherwise.
The funny thing is that we pay as much for the Round Rock Sports Center as we would have for the convention center. But the parking situation is way better, and delivery of the cake. So the Austin Convention Center, you'll remember, first of all, it's downtown, so parking is a pain. Mm-hmm. And there was the whole thing about you could only have three cars in at a time through a gated area that had to be manned by a guard. So you could only bring in three cars. Those people would have to bring their cakes out, take them up a delivery ramp in the back, get them set up and leave, and then another three cars. So my laugh is that we would have a lot of pissed off cake ladies before the show even started. Mm-hmm. So while this one is just as expensive, it's got the glorious big parking area in the back. It's easy to get to. You don't have to go through downtown to get there. And it's in Round Rock, which is a really family-friendly city. So it brings in a lot of people that might not have come otherwise.
And that's part of the problem that we are looking at. As ICs, we have to think about internationals coming as well. And there are motions on the books that we have to be in a hub city, which makes it a little more difficult when choosing cities and that. And we have traditionally been downtown. So you've got the problems of transportation and parking, and it's not friendly to bring in the locals. And we need to involve the locals in our conventions as much as we possibly can in order to grow the organization.
Yeah, I have no idea what the signage looks outside an ICES event at the moment. At the most recent BSG show, they do them every 4 years, and I had never been before, and when I got there, it didn't feel welcoming because all they had was like a banner outside that said, in script, so it's already hard to read, British Sugar Craft Guild. It didn't say public welcome. It didn't say come on in. So it looked like if you were just driving past that, you'd think, oh, I don't know what that is. I bet that would be interesting to go to. Oh, well, and you'd keep driving. And when I suggested to them, hey, I kind of do some PR for a cake show in the U.S. that's fairly successful. May I suggest that you put a public welcome sign out there? The one guy who's like really friendly there was like, oh, that's a good idea. But the PR person basically told me off. So, yeah, I mean, I was trying really hard to be part, like what you were saying earlier about, like, if you complain, you should be part of it. And I was trying to be part of BSG, and I became my local secretary, and I was trying to, you know, go to national level meetings and meet people. And it was so unfriendly and so many levels. There were some friendly people, but there were so many unfriendly things that happened, particularly at my local level, that I just bailed.
And I think that's a problem with all organizations in general. You get sort of the established community mm-hmm. that I don't think that they're really unfriendly, but they're afraid to let in.
Yeah.
They're comfortable the way things are, and they're not sure how they're going to like things if we change. So why are we going to change if I might not like it is kind of their attitude, where I think the new board is very much willing to take them kicking and screaming into the 21st century, hopefully, with some new ideas and hopefully some new changes that will be well received after the initial shock by all those members that are involved.
If initiatives bring people in, that doesn't actually hurt the people who are there to see their friends. New people being around is not actually the threat that I think some people perceive it to be. It just means it's, you know, making it better for everybody. And you can still do all the things. You can still hang out with your friends and you can still see your friends and do the things you want to do. There's just more people in the room, meaning it's better for everybody.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're hoping, and hoping to make ways for people to meet other people, and both whether it be connecting with old friends, you know, a place for that, but also a place to meet those new friends and welcome with open arms those new people that have arrived, whether it be for the day or for the whole convention, to find out what ICES truly has to offer and what it's all about.
I would love to come to another show. I just can't afford it. I keep saying, hey, if there's any major, you know, fund and brands or whatever want to sponsor this podcast so I can go to all the shows, that would be lovely. Because yours is a convention, it's not a typical show. It costs more to attend, right?
Yes. Our early bird registration is $190, which includes your convention registration as well as the membership breakfast and the awards banquet. Your classes in that are in addition, classes and demonstrations. However, classes are $75 and demonstrations are $7.
Right.
Where in the cake world can you get that?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's, I mean, because I remember when I went to the Las Vegas one, once I'd paid the entry, it was, which of course is discounted for members too, which is why I became a member, because it paid for itself to become a member to go to, when you're going to the convention. But I remember there was a fee and then a small fee. And then for that, you got a certain number of classes. So I just went to class. I was such a newbie. I just went to class. I learned how to put fondant on a cake. Like I was, so, you know, it was super basic. Like that's what it was at the Las Vegas one, where I learned that you pull out the pleats instead of pinching them together.
There you go.
That was
see?
Marcia Stedman. I will never forget her name or her face. And I'm bad with names. And I remember Marcia Stedman taught us her basic how to make your own fondant recipe, which I, you know, then played with over the years to suit my own needs. But she taught us how to make our own fondant, and then she was covering a cake, and she looked up at us, and she said, you guys know how to deal with this with when the if pleats, and a bunch of us were shaking our heads, and she goes, oh, you pull out, which is counterintuitive, so if anyone's really newbie listening, you pull the pleats out, you don't pinch them together. I mean, you can pinch them together and snip it off, but now you have a seam, so, and I went home and tried this, and I was like, oh, this is genius!
And you can thank ICES for making.
There you go.
I don't, do you?
I do. I learned about AmeriColor there. I went past a vendor. I wasn't going to spend very much money because I was a newbie, right? And I walked past this booth and this woman shoved a cup of buttercream in my face and said, here, try our new Super Red. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, it makes red, not pink. I'm like, all right. Because all I'd ever tried was, you know, the little Wilton pot. I'm like, yeah, I don't believe you. So I squirted like a few drops of the AmeriColor red in and mixed it. You know what it is. It's red, right? It's super red. That's what it does. And I was like, oh, sell me your biggest bottle. And I still have about a third of that bottle. It is right behind me right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Because that's AmeriColor for you, right? And I would not have learned that if I hadn't gone to ICES.
See, everyone has an ICES story.
Yep. We should all go. As soon as we all have plane fare.
And the next one's going to be in Cincinnati, which is a great location. And we've got some folks up there already saying, oh, I want to come teach there. I want to come teach there. So hopefully it should be a really good show.
Is it yearly? It is yearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. By our bylaws, we are required to have an annual event.
So what's the date?
July 23rd through 29th. That didn't sound real authoritative, did it?
No, right?
that's okay.
We've only slept since convention, so yeah, we're not on our sharpest game.
Well, it's okay, because it's not like I won't have at least one of you on, because part of me doing this podcast is like, Kyla, you'll come on frequently, right? So you guys can advertise it all the way up to
absolutely. But it's July, I believe it's 23rd through 29th, the last week of July. So that's exciting. It's a little bit earlier this summer, so hopefully we won't conflict this year. I know a lot of schools were going back at the same time we were trying to have convention, which made it hard for some of our members to go. But you still have the unsung heroes that are at home watching the kids, holding down the fort, mm-hmm. delivering cakes while we can all go to these events and do the things that we love. Mm-hmm. I know my husband, I've left him with wedding cakes to deliver and everything else, and he just shakes his head and goes, have fun.
Oh, well, that's good.
Surprised when I'm at convention how many of the spouses come along, and they do a myriad of jobs.
I think Corn would rather just, you know, put TV on for the kids than have to deal with them. I mean, well, like, obviously when we lived in Austin, he brought them to the Austin show, and they both entered cakes. You know, so I mean, Peo would get her medal every year. It never really was that meaningful to Robin because she was too little. But you know, I bring their cakes now to Austin because it's meaningful to Peo. Although I guess not this coming year, because now she'll be into the other category where it's actually competitive.
Uh oh, it's a whole new world now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because
that's something that I see that Austin does very well. That ICES needs to bring in more with the youth and the younger ones. I know we have, what was it, cookie decorating, a little kids corner, right. As part of the convention, but we don't do enough to reach out to the community and try to involve the younger members. You know, if you hook them that little, they're going to be lifelong members.
Yeah. But we usually have two or three. I think we might have had three young kids this year that are like in all the classes and very present. And it's like they've got 500 grandmas there because they are just so adored. Like, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, what classes have you been in? And they're super excited. And, you know, that's what we want to see. That is our future. And if mm-hmm. we don't grab a hold of that now and pull them close to us and bring them forward, as when we don't have a future. So it's just so, I can't even state how important it is that we encourage that youth into our organization.
Your cakes aren't a competition, right? So, but do you have like a youth segment or?
They're not a competition, but it's a show division, show cakes only. And they're for all levels.
Okay.
All levels, all ages. They're usually divided by states, countries, cities, you know, that type of thing. We haven't earmarked specifically a youth division, but that doesn't mean that's not something that can't be done.
Because it does, particularly Austin's thing of every kid gets a medal. And, you know, we're not spending a fortune on those medals, I don't think, are we, Kyla?
No, not at all.
Yeah. The kids like to get their medal.
Yeah, we all get our certificates for entering, for bringing our show cake.
Yeah.
And to get entered for prizes, which are a really nice.
Oh, yes. Got a second edition Lambeth book as my prize for putting in a sugar art display.
Oh, that's cool.
Great prizes.
Yes. Gift. Yeah.
Because, yeah, Peo did the first year we were here because Peo was being homeschooled because we were just visiting. She came with me to NEC and she brought an entry, and she is used to Austin where it's like, whatever you enter, you get a medal. You know, I mean, to be honest, Peo does not put a lot of effort into her entry. She does it for fun, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some kids who are like, it has to be perfect, but she's just like, whatever. But that didn't really fly at NEC. I mean, she got the basic level certificate of merit. But there were other kids in that category who were disqualified.
Wow.
Yeah, because their category, you had to have a birthday inscription, and there were kids who didn't have any letters on it. And so, like, it's harsh. It's harsh to see that, you know, disqualified thing. And even though she got a certificate of merit, she saw that and was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
So she was still sent a cake to Austin because she gets her medal, even though she's not there. That the silly little medal is meaningful to her. She hangs them in her window. You know, she's got medals going back to when she was 3 years old now.
Aww.
Yeah. So and she gets, you know, I get her a t-shirt every year. It's a big deal to her. Whereas NEC, she just is like, whatever about, because it didn't reward her. So that would be my suggestion. If you're trying to get kids into the IC's show, give everyone under 12 a medal. You know, medals are good because you can wear them. Honestly, medals are good.
Yeah, I think that's always a fun idea. You know, it would be fun to get kids to bring in entries to the cake room. And, you know, at our show, if a child brings a cake in, they get free entry for themselves and a parent. So, you know, there's some things we could talk about there to maybe help encourage kids to come and bring cakes for the cake room.
Absolutely.
Anyone anywhere for any show who's in trying to encourage that next generation, I have two words for why kids' classes are successful, and those two words are Samuel Plante. So do you know him?
No, I don't.
You've seen his work because he keeps winning.
You probably do. It's Shanna Miller's son.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Satin Ice is one of his sponsors now, and I think he's turning 13 this year. He's amazing, and he basically started in our kid classes a couple years ago. The first year we had kid classes, he was in one of my beginner's classes. He was in Akiko's class first, and then he went into mine, and he was saying how he really wanted to take the advanced class, because that was also a new thing, because very few people do advanced classes for kids. They just assume every kid is 5 years old and wants to make the same ladybug. Which is nothing wrong with making ladybugs when you're 5 years old. But we have, like, Nicole Peralta and, you know, Jesse Gall. We have these kids who've been around for years and are super talented. So I made this advanced class basically to serve those kids. And Sam said to me towards the end of the beginner class, well, I really wish I could take that, but I'm not experienced enough. And I was like, I can see what you're making. If it's okay by your mom, yeah, you can come do that.
So he came in, he took the advanced class, he aced it, and then he comes in the next year, and even though he was 12, and so he could have been in the yard, no, he was turning 12, so he could have been in the kids section, he bumped up to teen and won teen.
There you go.
Yeah.
At 12.
At 12. And then he goes to San Antonio and starts placing in San Antonio. And yeah, he's on like the San Antonio morning show all the time doing cakes and cooking. And yeah, it's a whole thing.
That's what it takes. You know, these kids are around it. They get their parents' support and they have a community. You know, it takes a village to nurture those talents.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to teach some of our classes, our kid classes, this coming year at Austin.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. And of course, Caitlin Cavillin taught them last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a teen. Really, I think it's really fun for kids to take classes from people closer to their age. They feel less intimidated.
Well, it's one of those, you know, hashtag goals things, right? I mean, if they see someone their age can do it. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of work involved. That's, again, with Peo. Peo used to point to my big Austin trophy and say, I want one of those. And Corin would tell her, well, you have to work really hard because mommy worked really hard, many, many hours to get that. But so, I mean, you know, there's going to be always those kids who put in the effort and those who don't want to, which again is valid. There's nothing wrong with having fun with sugar. But if we want if we want to identify the kids who are the future of the industry, all of our shows need to have more than just kids are allowed to be there. There are ways that we can encourage them, identify them. I mean, we said to Sam, hey, do you want to teach? Hey, do you want to do this? What can we do to help you advance? Because it's not just the warm fuzzies, it's the literal economic future.
Right.
The Sugar Craft Guild had its Signets thing, and to try to get a Signets group going here in Cambridge, like, I just gave up. It was so hard. It was so over-proceduralized. At first, when I said, hey, I've got this daughter, she wants to join, they said, well, we don't have a Signets group because we don't have any Signets. And I'm like, but I've got one who will sign up. No, we don't have anyone who wants to sign up. I'm like, but I literally have one that wants to sign. No, we don't have it. I'm like, what? Wait, what? So it felt, and you know, I was told I couldn't bring the kids to the meetings, the regular meetings. And then someone else said, no, that's not true. You can. But once someone's told you can't, they don't feel welcome. You know, it's that, again, these groups
right.
need to be more welcoming.
Yep. I'm totally with you on that.
I think there's this perception that kids are messy and loud because they are. Like, I mean, I'm going to be editing this for the next 2 nights after they go to bed because they are messy and loud. But just because kids are messy and loud doesn't mean they're not also awesome artists who have moms who spend money.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then there's the other thing, too, that as you go up, even in age, I mean, we are really encouraging at our show of, say, the culinary students. And that's a really great tie-in. And, you know, if we can get the culinary students, like, locally at whatever event we're at to come in. It always the kind of, I think there's something special about seeing the culinary students coming in their jackets, and we can get the schools on board to where, you know, at our show, they kind of have to enter a cake into the cake show to as part of their final grade. You know, if we can kind of get that sort of going with our show, maybe up in Cincinnati, and get some of those culinary students on board. But hey, that doesn't hurt either. And that's, you know, they're at an age where they're usually younger, but they're not kids. But they're, you know, a good age to bring into our organization because they,
absolutely. You know,
they've got their own career going into this, and they got a lot that they want to learn, because a lot of culinary schools teach you the basics, but they don't teach you the next steps in cake decorating. You know, they'll teach you to make a great cake, and they might teach you to cover it with fondant, but all the embellishing and all the other things that we do to cakes and wedding cakes, they aren't learning that there. So we are a great organization to join up with as new into the field and bring your work up into the next level to where you can market it better and make more money out of it and all those things that really bring attention to your work.
Right, which is something that ICC needs to do at the grassroots level through all their chapters in that, which I know our representatives are all volunteers and they work hard, but, you know, they need to reach out. Part of the other problem we found is that a few years back, they got away from show directors being from the area where the show is happening.
Yeah, I noticed.
So that makes it very difficult to get that grassroots, boots on the ground community support when you don't know the community. When
right.
when you are just bringing something into it and putting it upon it, as opposed to working it from the ground up. Something successful that happened in Spokane is Spokane and Washington got together. They did not do the show cake, but they did a second huge, for lack of a better term, show cake that they used members of all levels, kids, adults, from beginners up, that got them really excited about coming to the show, seeing what ICE is about, and they were invested in it because their work was being showcased there.
And it was a magnificent piece. It really was. So, and that's another benefit of having like kids helping or young people or locals helping it, is if your granddaughter or your daughter or son or grandson are involved in this, well, they all come out to see their work, don't they? So mm-hmm. that's five more people that are attending your show just to support their family members.
Yeah, and it spins out from there, because then, what are you doing this weekend? Well, my grandson participated in this cake thing, so I'm going to the cake show. Wait, there's a cake show? Hang on, I want to go to a cake show. And
exactly.
Now you've got six other people. Oh, did you hear Sally's going with her grandson to the cake show? Wait, there's a cake show? Because I don't know how many times it happened in Austin. People knew what I did, and I would say something about, oh, I can't do such and such because cake show's coming. What? There's a cake show? I'm like, yes! Yes! There's a cake yes. show! Oh my God!
It's like, have you been under a rock? There is a cake show.
You know, and it's not like we don't advertise, and it's not like it's all over, but the reality, particularly parents, you're in this tunnel vision of, I need to get this stuff done, and I need to get the kids to this and that and the other thing. You know, if you get the local Girl Scouts or something, or the Boy Scouts involved, it's not just those kids, it's the friends of those kids. Because, yeah, how many parents I heard go, what? There's a cake show? Yes! I've mentioned it for the last 5 years. Yeah, but, you know, finally it percolates through the community. Like, oh, I want to go to the cake show. I want to go to a cake show. And then they ask, can I eat cake?
And right. now you've solved that problem, which is another problem ICC needs to solve. We need to be able to eat cake.
Hi, Kim. This is Rita Pryor. I'm a member of ICES. Matter of fact, I just was awarded one of their scholarships, and I'm so thrilled. What I like about ICES, every single thing there is to like. Their classes are amazing. The people are so friendly and kind, and you learn so much. I cannot stress that enough to anybody. You learn so much. Just go to a day of sharing. You're going to learn. I went to one day of sharing. I learned one item, and I posted it on my Facebook page. It was how to do an ornament. I had 113 last year. I had 113 ornaments ordered at $10 a shot. I paid for my Christmas. So it's amazing what you can learn.
You know, here's a thought. Do you have a youth director or a, like, maybe you need someone on your board staff, and I say staff as if any of you are paid, but like maybe you need like a youth outreach person.
That's possible.
That is possible. That's a very real possibility and a good thought. Somebody whose energies are focused solely in that direction. Yeah.
Send your applications to Susie Zimmerman at what?
Got a lot of spare time, like kids.
Yeah, that's the key. You got to find like the best people who do that are people who have like teenagers, because they understand kids. They don't generally mind kids. their kids are self-cleaning and caring enough, and they also want to get out of their house.
Right.
So you find someone like that, someone who's got, like, you know, older kids, and then also sometimes their older kids come and volunteer. Some of the best volunteers we had at the kids' decorating station in Austin were teenagers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Fernando. Shout out to Fernando, one of my favorite volunteers ever. But yeah, so if you had a youth, and that doesn't have to be youth, but I mean, that's just the first title that occurred to me, like a youth outreach officer, then that could be the person who coordinates with the local high school and the local culinary, and it could be their job to look that up.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate here that we have 3 or 4 culinary schools and a lot of high schools with proper culinary programs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's been very lucky for us because they'll come and help out with our hospitality room. And it always, again, looks very impressive when our culinary students are in there in their jackets serving food to, you know, our visiting instructors and judges.
You're right. It does. It looks very impressive.
They look all like professional because they are.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. And they're there and they're volunteering and they're bringing cakes. And, you know, next thing you know, we've roped them in.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But the people who want, you know, we're not always about the career professionals. Sometimes we're about the hobbyists. But in that track, you are getting the people who are going to be the career professionals into your organization early, who then, you know, as long as they feel welcome and comfortable and keep coming back, they are the ones who bring in the ideas to say things like, we should have this social media account that, you know, some of us don't know about because we're all old. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of someone in the Austin group, Tian Bui, because so she's younger than, she was younger than the rest of the board when she came on. And she was the one, I remember there was a meeting once where she was sitting there with a phone, a tablet, and a computer, and she was doing things on all three. And I'm like, you're some kind of mystical web goddess. Like, just look at, just, she was just, like, it was like a sci-fi thing watching her do stuff. And, you know, she was the one who had ideas like running Twitter through the show and doing some of these digital things, because even though the rest of us are online and we use these things, we weren't thinking of it in that age set's way of thinking about it. So if you get those culinary students in, then some of them come in and they have ideas that are really good.
Yeah, and TN is still very much like that. She's always like, okay, we need to get this on our Instagram and on our Twitter, and we need to have our own Pinterest group, and we need to, okay, TN, make it happen.
Yeah. I know, it's like, okay, we're tired, your turn.
and here's the kicker. In 40 years, someone else needs to do that to her, because in 40 years, she's going to still be doing, and this is what I've observed with some of the, particularly the older groups, we were all fresh once.
Right, absolutely. Right.
And that's why we need to be open to change.
To not get to the point where you're not willing to listen to those new ideas. And I think that that's where we tend to be successful in Austin, is that we have a lot of people, we embrace the young people. And if they have really great ideas, we try not to be grumpy old ladies and say, oh no, that's not how we've done it. That's not how it's going to be done. This is how we've always done it and always will do it. Right.
Yeah.
So if we ignore that mindset and open our mind a little bit to say, okay, I don't exactly know what you're talking about, but if you think that's a good idea, you know, show me. Let's do it.
I also think we need to reach out to our membership to get that help. You know, we are 15 members on the board, 16 maybe now. We can't do everything, and we need to realize that. And we, yes, we all have committees, but that doesn't mean that we can't reach out to our memberships to put members on those committees, to have members helping us complete our jobs and reach other members.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to the ICES members. Volunteer for a committee, especially if there's something that's bugging you that you don't like, you think something can be done better, volunteer to help fix it.
Yeah. And we have, you know, one of the great things that we have is, like, we have moms who are charter members of the group, or dads who are charter members of ICES, and now we have their sons and daughters involved. Which is really, really cool. And if we can keep that generational thing moving forward, that's a beautiful thing. And that's where we talk about ICES being a family, because we are, and because people have grown up with it their whole lives.
I mean, it definitely sounds super exciting. What else have you got coming out that isn't top secret? Or is? Tell me the top secret stuff. Look, I only have 125 listeners, most of whom are in Central Texas, so you can spill secrets. It's fine.
And most of the time, Texas knows what's going on at ICES. They're one of the first to know.
That's right. I wonder Texas, why.
Yeah, Texas has a strong contingency, and we are very open and very vocal, which sometimes is not the most welcome thing, but that's okay.
And they've got two of us.
Yes, and they have two of us now on the board. Plus, we have Louisiana. We have Liz Dixon back on, who is a second-generation ICEAN, I guess you would call it.
And a former president, right?
Yeah, she is a former president, as was her mother. So,
very nice lady on top of all of that.
Yes, and very forward-thinking. Culinary, ran the culinary school in Bossier Community College. So she sees the importance of reaching out to that next generation and making things happen past ourselves. You know, we need to think outside of ourselves and think what's best for the future.
And Liz herself has brought 15 to 20 culinary students at any given time to our show because she's basically next door in Louisiana. So, you know, she's definitely the kind of person that is going to be very welcome on the board.
Who else is new and exciting that you should announce to the world? Or, you know, or people who've been there forever slogging away?
Well, wait, who else? I'm trying to think who else is new on the board. Also, my brain went.
Jan Wolf up from Colorado, who
yes.
has a food show coming up soon next month. September 8th through the 10th is the Sweet Times in the Rockies show. And you can find out more about that one at www.cowyices.org.
And that stands for Colorado, Wyoming, ICES.
I'll make sure there's
not
a link.
Not Cowie.
I'll put a link in the show notes. We'll make sure there's a link.
And their theme is really, really fun. It's a Day of the Dead theme. So I think that's going to be really exciting. They're going to have kids divisions, beginners and masters. They got prizes, raffles. They got categories from tiered cakes, occasional cakes, novelties and sculpted confections, extravagant tasting. And they'll be working hard to get that running. It's going to be at the Colorado Convention Center. So if you're in the Colorado area, go check out Sweet Times in the Rockies. And that's Jan Wolf, our new board member, who's spearheading that. Real nice lady.
And then we have Jim Bender, who is on the National Capital, okay, I'm going to say it wrong, National Capital Area Cake Show, which is Virginia.
Now referred to as my cake husband, since we spent the entire weekend working the hospitality booth together.
Yes, and he is on, I think, all three of your committees as well.
Yes.
So we are tapping into his computer savvy. We have internationally, we have Oz Barbosa. If you don't know Oz, he would be a great interview for your podcast.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
Yes. He is a wonderful spokesman for ICES and just the sugar arts in general. He is originally from Venezuela, now living in Colombia, and he is the Colombia representative on top of our newest ICES board member, and he will be our international liaison trying to help us grow ICES outside of the U.S. So he will actually be London's main point, or the U.K.'s main point of contact.
Right.
And he's also, I heard the other day that he's got a psychology background, which will come in handy, I'm sure.
Although I'm wondering if we're all being analyzed.
I don't care, Ross, as long as you bring those guava jellies next time I see you, I'll forgive everything.
Exactly. So that's why I say we've got some exciting people on the board, and I'm just excited for new ideas and things moving forward and trying to see Jan Wolf, who's doing the Colorado show, is also chairperson of certification and our new judging program. Her committee handles our certified master sugar artists, certified sugar artist programs, as well as the new ICES certified judging program, which is a great program, not only if you want to be a judge, but also if you're doing cake shows. Just to go and listen and get some insight into what the judges are looking for.
because yours isn't a judged competition, so this is basically training judges for other shows?
Yes.
Training judges, people to judge other shows or just learn more about the judging process.
Oh, that's very cool because, yeah, I mean, it's coming from a neutral point of view from your show. That's a really good idea.
It is, and it's had a really good group of people working on it, and they put together a really excellent working manual. But we have people like Nick Lodge, Mary Sinaga, Mary Jo Dowling, Sheila Miller. Who am I missing? Oh, Susie?
Let's see. Regina Bankston's in ICJ now. Who am I missing? I'm trying to look down the line. And Kathy Scott. There's six of them.
Yeah. So it's a pretty distinguished group of people with a pretty good background in doing shows.
How does someone participate in that?
They're offered during the conventions. It's a two-day class, and it ends with a multiple choice test, which you must pass. But the test is actually optional. You can take just the class, or you can take the class and the test. If you choose to want to go forward, then you do an apprenticeship program, and you apprentice judge under current ICJs at two shows for 2 years. Then they will bestow on you the title of ICIS certified judge if you meet all the criteria for the judging that they have set in place.
That is very cool. And then, so the idea would be shows like Austin could then say, well, you know, this many of our judges are certified.
Yes, and yes. What will probably happen for us this coming year is, since Nick is our lead judge, and I think he may be the only one of the ICJs that is going to be at our show, but we'll offer up a position. So I think they can only do one at a time, but we'll offer up a position, then Nick can have someone shadow him and do their apprenticeship at our show, which would be great.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So it gives that opportunity that, no, you don't have to train to be a judge, but, you know, you can take it as far as you want to. You can just take the class to gain the knowledge. You can take the class and test for the next level to become an apprentice. It's totally open that way.
No, it's a valuable service. Because, you know, not all shows are judged at the same caliber. I mean, yeah, we have Nick Lodge as our head judge. That brings a certain caliber to it. But there are going to be smaller shows that can't necessarily, you know, afford or even just to have the numbers to pull someone like that. So having more judges who aren't just people who like cake, you know, actual qualifications, that is improving the industry as a whole. So well done.
Although every show has their own idiosyncrasies, at least it kind of gives you a standard bar of what you're looking for as a judge, especially if you're new to the judging realm. So I think it will help the industry as a whole.
Yeah, bravo.
The only new board member that we didn't mention is Gwendolyn Scroggins. I don't know a whole lot about Gwen, but I do know she's kind of the Doubting Thomas, I think, type. So, you know, and that there's value in that somebody who I always say Chris Cantrell is our person in our group. You know, Chris, if we say we're going to do such and such, Chris is always like, people will steal from you. Or she's always got the other side of the coin. You know, when you're painting rainbows, they're like, but the clouds are coming in, Carla. The rain's coming, Carla. That they will bring up the other side of things, like when you're trying to be super positive about how this event is going to be, you kind of sometimes need that person who's the squeaky wheel and says, that's a really great idea, but. And I think Gwendolyn is very much that person.
Yeah, that sounds like my kind of person. There have been several times.
We need her to keep us honest and on track.
Yeah. There have been a few times with various stuff with the Austin Club and stuff, or the show, where Kyla's told me something, and I'm like, yeah, but X. Oh, damn, X. It's not a fun position, but yeah, it is important.
Yeah, I can sometimes be the rose-colored glasses in the group. So, you know, there's every once in a while I might need a little reining in, but, you know.
But it looks like we have a group that wants to move forward, that wants to be open to new things. We've got show directors in Ohio that are excited and looking to change up things for the convention. We have show directors for Little Rock, which is 2019, that are looking to expand on that and create a new convention experience. And part of the job of this board will also be to start looking at what 2020 is going to look like and where that is going to happen.
Dallas, Fort Worth.
I know. We got to get boots on the ground.
It's been a long time since there was one in Texas. Not since I've been around. So, I mean, I've been to local ones in Dallas. I've been to, well, in Texas, because I've been to the Dallas one. But yeah.
So. I believe it was 06 was, if I'm not mistaken, 06 was Grapevine?
Something like that. It's been a number of years. And, you know, we do have one of the largest contingencies of members here in Texas. So it makes sense to go where the people are.
Well, that's one of the things on the last episode. I had Michelle Boyd and Mallory May and Sachiko Winby on, and they had just been teaching their class in San Antonio, and they were all saying how they're all gobsmacked by how when you come to Texas, there's just so much interest in CAKE relative to where they are all based. And why was that? And we were talking about that. It's like, well, is it if you build it, they will come sort of thing because of the history, you know, with in Austin with All-in-One / Make It Sweet. When it was a smaller shop, it didn't have the room, but now it has the room, so now it attracts the stuff. And now that it attracts the stuff, then it attracts more stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It was in their perception that there was more interest in classes and learning and doing in various places in Texas than in any of their home areas.
We can have our show in February, and then San Antonio can do theirs in March, and it's really not hurting either one of us. That says a lot.
There are clearly, you know, regions where this is a more of a thriving industry in terms of the show. I mean, I think there's CAKE everywhere, right?
Yeah.
We're humans. Right. It's kind of like CAKE is awesome. But in terms of the classes and the shows and the professionalism and stuff, it does seem like there are pockets where there's more of it going on. And I don't know, is that because it's CAKE Nexus adjacent, Kyla? Or or is it the culture of, like, how does it one area develop that much more? Is it accident? Is it cultural? I don't know.
There were quite a few founding members from Texas. Carolyn Wonky Mangle was the one that comes to mind.
And Earlene.
You know, and Earlene Moore. And Glenda Galvez. You know, they were all part of that foundation that really spread it through Texas and kept it going. I don't know. Is it the pioneer spirit? Is it?
Awful. You know what? I think it's that old ISIS foundation of sharing and caring, because just those three ladies alone, I can't tell you how much I learned from over the years, because there was never a time where Carolyn or Earlene or Glenda wasn't happy to share any of their knowledge. They were never like, well, that's my information. I'm not sharing that with you. I can always remember, like, the nights of sharing. There was always Carolyn in there showing you how to do something. It was always Earlene in there showing you how to do something. And, you know, they continue to do so.
And that is something that I hope we don't lose with the next generations, because I'm hearing it more and more that, you know, well, you know, we don't want to share our stuff. We want to sell it. And it's like, but if you share, it comes back to you threefold, if not more, than, you know, selling a piece of information. And I'm not saying you have to share everything and give away the farm, but, you know, there's got to be a balance.
Yeah, and sometimes that sparks something else in someone else there that has a different spin on it. And the next thing you know, there's a whole new thing. That's the beauty of it. You put it out into the world and you get more back.
Exactly. That is the foundation that ISIS is still built upon, and trying to maintain that structure of education through sharing and the uplifting of each other. We're not in competition with each other. We shouldn't be. There's enough room for all of us in this business.
Right.
It's sharing and working together for the greater good, which sounds kind of utopian or Pollyanna, but that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And while we talk about bringing in the youth and sustaining our organization and moving forward to the next century, that is not to say that we discount in any way those founding members and those charter members like Earlene and Carolyn and Glenda. All of those people are who we are fundamentally, and that attitude that made ISIS into the organization that it became, those people are hugely valuable. And I certainly in no way want to say we don't have any room in our organization for the legends in our group, like Nora de la Pava, like Rosa Villacava. You know, all those people have so, they've probably forgotten more than we'll ever know.
Exactly.
You know, the Golden Windbecklers of the world and Marcia, these people have so much to offer. And there's a resurgence of old school techniques like Lambeth. Buttercream has never been better. There's more beautiful work being done in buttercream. And those are the people who hold the keys to that kingdom. So while we're moving forward and we are bringing in new blood, let us not forget our roots. And let us not forget that those people still have so much to offer.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's that whole thing of just because you're trying a new technique doesn't mean you're not also piping.
Right.
Exactly. And so much of what we do, come on, it's not new. It's been done.
Yes.
We are tweaking it. We aren't even reinventing it. We're
finding it again.
We're exploring that, and we're finding things that just have been put on the back shelf for a while.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mirror glaze, Lambeth techniques, these are things that have been around for generations. I mean, I grew up in Europe, so mirror glaze, I've seen it my entire life. But what, last year or so, suddenly it was mirror glaze, mirror glaze, mirror glaze in every place that I looked, and part of me was like, well, that's nothing new. But then another part of me was like, hey, it's new to them, and they're doing some new and exciting things with it. So, you know, you learn these techniques and you think, well, this has been done forever, but oh, I've got somebody here who knows how to do something else, and they're applying it in a way that I hadn't thought of.
Right.
And hey, presto, we've got something else cool that's come out of something that's old as the hills.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying, that there are Victorian era books talking about many of the techniques that we think are new and modern. Things fall out of fashion, and then they're gone. I mean, and it's not just our craft. I do some fiber craft, you know, knitting and stuff like that. You know, trends come and go. What does seem to keep moving forward, though, are we get better tools. So something like, you know what, who wants to beat royal icing by hand? Nobody. Because I did that the first year I got here and didn't have a mixer, and I did that once, and I'm like, oh my god, Victorians must have had arms like battle cruisers. Like, how did they do this without electricity? So we get these better tools, and so we think, oh, we've got a new thing, we're doing a new thing. But it's not that the thing hasn't been done before, we're just approaching it in a new way because now we have electricity, or we have there's nothing wrong with a mold, particularly if you're trying to sell cakes and get it out the door. There's nothing wrong with these things that achieve your artistic vision with a new tool.
Right.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you're dissing the old way of doing it.
But we also see people coming back and saying, okay, you don't have to have every tool in the world. You know, you don't have to have, as Alton Brown says, a unitasker. You know, take this tool and you can do, you know, 10 other things with it. Or, you know what, you don't actually need a tool for that. You could do that by, you know, cutting this in a certain way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all valuable in its own way.
Yeah, again, I mean, going back to the kid classes, that's what I like to show the kids is with a basic round cutter set and a number 10 Wilton tip, because that's two more circles.
Right.
Like I was working on my kids' class. I'm really working on it, Kyla. Don't kill me. I'm getting it done.
It's the way you approach it. And to me, I love those teachers that embrace that idea that there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, there's more than one way to achieve the same end result. Not everyone has to do it the exact same way.
Right.
And that's where the artistic part comes in. You know, everybody's eye is different. Everyone has different skill sets. Everyone has different challenges, but we can all create something beautiful in the end.
Right. I mean, like I show the kids, you can use both sides of that number 10 tip. Now, is a plunger cutter better and faster? Yeah. I was after my like 15th eye that I cut today, I was like, why don't I just go get my plunger cutter? This will be faster. No one will know. I'm going to keep using the tip because that's what I'm going to show them. And so make my samples with the tip. Right. Because I'm not cheating. But I will tell them, I was like, look, if you have this already in the drawer or your parent, because often the kids who are coming to the classes, they're there because they've got a parent who's interested or a carer of some kind. And so I can say to them, they probably have a number 10 tip. You can ask if you can borrow it. And, you know, if you want a birthday present, then tell them you want a set of plunger cutters.
Right.
Right. So you can tell them there is this tool that does it better, but here's how to do it with something you'll have in your kitchen already. And, you know, you don't need to have a big circle cutter because you have a dinner plate you can trace.
Right.
So,
but that makes it accessible to more people.
Exactly.
Not everyone can go out and buy every new fad tool. We've all been there, you know, on and how many of us have gone to a show and bought all these brand new tools that we just had to have. And we bring them home and they're still in the bags 10 years later.
At our holiday party this year, we changed up. We used to do like a cookie exchange, right? But this year I said, you know what? I've always been against those white elephant things because I don't need more junk that nobody else uses. But I said, you know what? Let's do this white elephant thing. But everybody bring something in their cake room that they've never opened. And we exchanged this, and you know what? It was hilarious and a lot of fun. And you would be surprised. Everybody had something in their cake room that was in a package that had never been opened that they'd had for years.
Yeah. But we had to have it at the time we bought it. Gung ho.
We should do that at our next Icy's dinner. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah. Well, it's not even stuff you bought necessarily. I mean, I've got because I cleaned my desk, there was a shoebox beside me of stuff I have to find a place for. And, okay, so like 3 solid inches of it are a bunch of molds I won because I posted on the Cake Masters Facebook thing. So they're all Christmas molds, so I haven't used any of them yet, but this Christmas I will. But I have to find a place to put them away. But at the back of this is that...
You won't forget where you put them.
Well, I got to reorganize my kitchen. That's a whole different other... We got to reorganize my kitchen and then not move again. Internationally moving, I'm still recovering from. But at the back of this shoebox is really old, the Wilton shells, the clear plastic candy mold that does shells. Well, I'm kind of thinking I just want to give it away because I have the Marvelous Mold set of shells. If I was going to make shells, why would I make the cartoony ones when I can make gorgeous Marvelous Molds ones? You know, should I give this away to someone? If I was still doing my BSG things, I would have put it in the raffle, but I'm not going to my local BSG anymore. But yeah, I mean, so like we sometimes acquire these things or in goodie bags or whatever. We acquire these things. That one I think came from Cake Bag, which I love Cake Bag, but you guys know what Cake Bag is, right?
No.
Okay. I know Kyla because I think I have to have her on the show because the one who runs it because it's based here. It's like one of these loot crate things, but it's cake tools.
Ah.
So for like, I think it's £16.99 or so, like £17 a month, you get a baggie full of cake tools. And like they're random, but like a theme each month. So like the month that I got the little Wilton thingy, and it's guaranteed to be worth more than the subscription price. So that was like a mermaid themed thing. So there were like other molds and dusts and stuff. And I've got some tools in there that are like push me out of my comfort zone. Like I don't think I would have bought that for myself. And now it's indispensable.
Well, there you go.
Right. But then sometimes it's also, I don't really need this. So I would be happy to find some kind of exchange like that to give it to, but I can't come to Capital Confectioners events anymore. They're too far away. Yeah. Apparently we need an English Icy's chapter then.
Yes. You need to get with it.
Yeah.
You and Jackie Kelly need to work together and build.
We will do that because, you know, Jackie is also one of those people who has nothing to do.
Right.
Oh, my God. I don't think she sleeps.
Probably not. None of us do.
No, that's true. Sleep is for the weak.
My grandmother always said you can sleep when you're dead.
That's right. Yeah, it's easy for me to say right now because it's 12:33 a.m. and I have to volunteer outside all day with children tomorrow.
And you'll be thinking of us fondly.
Yeah, I do.
Hi, Kim. My name is Jan Wolf from Colorado, and I'm a current ISIS member and also on the board of ISIS. This organization has given me so much over the years, I wanted to give some back. At every event, I learned something new, a technique, or even an easier way to do cakes and sugar art. The talent of the ISIS membership continues to amaze me. The ISIS-sponsored competitions push my talents and my skills. I'm honored to be a certified ISIS sugar artist and one of the first of the group to be trained as an ISIS-certified judge. Both programs work to improve our sugar art skills around the world. One of my favorite events continues to be the Day of Sharings. They bring us together as a group to learn more about businesses and also share new ideas and also new skills. I prefer to learn by doing things, and ISIS has been my conduit to hands-on training classes around the country. I believe in ISIS, and it has been a safe environment for me to continuously improve my skills and my expertise. Thank you. Bye.
I miss coming to the cake events. I miss not having a cake club here. And even when I was going to the Cambridge BSG thing, I mean, if we had six people on an evening, that was a good evening. Again, this is one of those areas that, I mean, I'm sure in London it does a lot better. But Cambridge is a cakey town.
But that's what ISIS can be. Everybody thinks ISIS chapters have to do big days of sharing and big this and that and the other. ISIS Utah, they get together for dinner once a quarter. You know, everybody buys their own. They have dinner, and then after the dinner, somebody does a demo. It doesn't have to be like Texas, where, you know, we have 4 days of sharing with breakfast and lunch and raffles and goodies and 27 vendors and all of that.
But so having said that, we have a low-key one coming up, which will be our second year of doing our Fall Fun Day. And we don't do any raffles. I don't think we did any goodie bags even last year.
No.
But, you know, we have three or four demonstrators. We have lunch and, a little snosh in the morning. But it's pretty low key. And we had Natalie Sidesurf last year, and it was really a lot of fun.
And then we had Jennifer Bartos doing hands-on sugar skulls. So we do demos in the morning and a hands-on in the afternoon. They can shop it, make it sweet. And everybody's happy. It's low-key. We have great food by Craigos.
Yes. It's and win-win. And we're coming up October 29th.
Yes.
To do that. So is that up on the website yet?
Yes, it is. And I just sent it into Main ISIS website. So, yeah, we are good to go.
Well, I'll make sure that's on the show notes, too. And this is the thing. You guys and, you know, anyone listening, if you know that you've got an event coming up, particularly weeks in advance, because you got to remember, I record sometimes a week or two before the show comes out. But if you guys leave me Facebook voicemail messages to say, hey, we're having a day of sharing and we need volunteers in, 3 weeks. Hey, we're going to have a bake sale. You listeners can all just phone these things in and I'll put them on. I mean, like, I guess if it ever got successful enough that I was getting hundreds, I'd have to limit it somehow. But seriously, right now, people, you can put your stuff up for free.
And we're that's at texasices.org, texasices.org. And that is our October Fun Day.
Yeah, see, I miss events like that because I think part of the thing here with British Sugar Graft Guild is demonstrators expect to be paid. When I volunteered, when I first showed up here, I said, well, I'll demonstrate. And they're like, well, we've already set our schedule for the year. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's odd. Now I'm realizing here that isn't odd. That is normal for here. And like my WI and stuff, the schedules are always expected to be set for year because the culture is you can't sell membership to any group unless the people buying the membership can see what's coming for the next year. So everything's
interesting.
Yeah, everything's set well in advance, which has its ups and downs and things get canceled and it's a whole big miasma. But whatever. Okay, so that's what they're doing. But then these are people who expect to be paid. So when there was finally room for me to volunteer, they said, well, how much do you charge? I said, I'm volunteering. Like it was such a culture shock. Well, but what do you want? You're going to use
be
some materials. And I'm just like, no. Whatever time and materials I'm bringing, I am donating. I would have thought that they'd say, oh, that's wonderful. But it was almost like a threat. I was almost like perceived that I was undercutting people, which is certainly not my intent. I meant to be giving.
But so, I think that's the new you know, even though you say it, that it's become an old lady society, but I think that's the new generation that, you know, they're not doing anything unless they're compensated for it.
Well, but I think it's been that way here all along. So that because BSG trains its demonstrators, and you're not supposed to really have demonstrators in unless they're BSG certified, and it costs money to be certified. And so now you want to recoup that by going around. Remember, again, small country, you can drive around it.
Right. But they've almost implode. They're kind of doing what ISIS did in a way, and they're trying to implode upon themselves to keep it so insular that, you know, you have to be a member, then you have to be certified before you can do this, and keeps it all very small and in-house, where it's time for us to go, come on in, folks, and join the party.
Much the same, because, you know, when I was young and living in England and part of the BSG, there was like 17,000 large, and that's not their numbers now either.
No, not by a long shot. And then it hurts on the ground level. So our little Cambridge group, you know, there's the membership fee, which I can't remember off. It was like 40 something pounds. And part of that goes to national and a part of that goes to the local group. That does barely covers venue. So then we charge per meeting as well. So you pay your membership fee and that gets you a discounted charge per meeting. But the charge per meeting isn't even consistent, because if we have someone coming in who's charging us 120 pounds plus, because she's in 60 pounds per hour or whatever, and plus travel time, well, now we have to charge everybody an extra fee. And so, yes, we can discount it for members. So now people are coming, showing up, and it's like, well, today's meeting is 4 pounds. Well, today's meeting is 11 pounds.
Right. That's the same that I see, you know, at the local level. Texas has mandated that our day of sharings, we can only charge our members $25. However, our fun days, we can charge $35 because it's a fun day. It's not a day of sharing.
Right. But imagine, you know, imagine if every time you went to the Austin Kate Club, there was not only a charge, but you didn't know what the charge was going to be until you got there.
Right. Now, that's a problem. At least we let you know in advance so you can sign up.
Right.
But then if we're having an election, then it's free for members.
Exactly.
You know, there's all these rules and this and that and the other. But you can go to Louisiana, who, you know, theirs is maybe $5 for members. Or we can go to, you know, somewhere else and they charge $50 for members. It just depends on who, what, when, where, and how much money they have in the bank.
Right, exactly. And so what it was turning into was the Cambridge group was so small, we just simply could not afford these demonstrators who charge a lot of money. And I mean, there were people, again, Jackie Kelly, this is, I know, a significant part of what Jackie gets paid is going to these BSG things. So I'm not begrudging her the money because that's the way it's set up. But Cambridge couldn't afford her because she needs to be paid because that's her business. So it sort of feeds back on itself that if it's too expensive for people to join and come to, then you have fewer members and now you have less of a pool to get interesting people out, which means you get less members because people aren't interested. And it turns it into this feedback loop, and that's why we've got only six people, and, you know.
It becomes a vicious cycle, and it's how to break that cycle.
Yeah.
But when you've got a system set up on monetary gain, it's hard to break that cycle. I get it. We found that within ICES, even from what the amount of now paid contractors we have that we've never had in the past. You know, where do you draw the line? You know, is it time to go back to looking for people to donate their time and talents? They're even saying at our conventions, well, we can't get the teachers in because they won't come for what we're paying. Yeah, they will. You just have to ask. Kyla's proof of that. We've been able to get fabulous people here in Texas. Come on. You just have to make the ask, and you have to get them invested in what you're doing in the long haul and introducing them to that wider audience. It's tough. It's a tough sell.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I can't fly into every show because I can't afford the airfare. That's just... But in England here, I would go to more of these little shows, the little BSG things. One, if I knew about them in time. We have a communication problem. Now that I'm not a member anymore, I'm not even getting the newsletter, so I don't even know about them. But two, if they have something that attracts me to drive 4 hours across the country. Because that's across the country is 4 hours.
Right.
So,
but now we have that here.
Yeah.
Because look in just Texas alone. We figured out that you could basically go to a cake event every weekend if you really wanted to, within the borders of Texas. People only have a limited amount of disposable income, and they've got to make choices. So now, are you going to this ISIS Day of Sharing, or are you going to the Austin Cake Show? Are you going to San Antonio Show, or are you going to something in Dallas? And now I know Kathy Brinkley in Houston has set up her cake studio. She has classes at her studio every weekend.
Yeah.
So now those people that used to travel to go see all these other shows and that aren't traveling so much because she knows Kathy will bring them to her right there at home.
Right.
We've got to look at the nature of the world and what's going on.
It's like any business. Who are your stakeholders and how do you reach them? And
exactly.
Who do you want to attract to your show for what purpose? If your show is primarily a competition show, do you want to track just the top competitors or do you want to track the most competitors? Because those are two different strategies.
Absolutely.
You can attract a lot of competitors by having a low entry point. You know, it doesn't cost much to enter. Having wide categories, having divisions and stuff like that. If you want to attract the top people, you better bring it with the prizes. So
absolutely.
You have
that's to, with anything. You've yeah. got to figure out that. And that, I think that's where ISIS is right now. We've got to figure out what is our true demographic that we are going after and why.
Right.
Yeah. And if you can get people who love the organization, I mean, obviously, I keep coming back to Austin, not just because I'm Kyla's slave, but although that is a huge part of it, but because I feel a personal connection with the show. The show matters to me. I have support from Kyla insofar as by doing the kids' classes, I can get, you know, most, well, actually last year was most of my airfare back. The year before was about half. So, and then because I sleep on Kyla's floor, I basically save a hotel and I make Kyla drive me around. But, you know, like by doing those things, I can cost justify that trip.
You have to be invested in an organization in order to belong to it.
Right. So you guys probably have instructors that are willing to not necessarily make a profit because they care deeply about your organization. So the key is, how can you make it within your own budgets, obviously, as easy as possible? Like, is it something like people are doing house sharing or ride sharing? You know, is it worth, depending on cities and venues, because you're talking about being in the city center, is having some kind of your volunteers on the ground are driving people in, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, it's, and it's going to vary because you guys have a different venue every year. It's going to vary.
Right. But, you know, that gives us that consideration towards, as Susie said earlier, the international people need us to be at a city that's a hub, because getting from the airport to the hotel can sometimes be difficult.
Yeah, you can't have it at a cheap location in the middle of nowhere because not everyone wants to land and rent a car.
Right.
I don't.
Right. Or can, or, you know, won't drive in the States. It's new to them. I mean, there's all kinds of logistical nightmares of that. So for that, yeah, we're in a hub, which is, tends to be more expensive. We're downtown, so nothing's free at these hotels. You're paying for parking. You're paying for Wi-Fi. You're paying for...
Right.
You know, yeah, everything. So people that come to the ISIS conventions are making a sacrifice because it's an organization that they love.
Right.
And we just need to figure out how to make that more accessible to them than we have in the past.
Well, it does sound like, I mean, you've got exciting digital things coming up. And I take Craftsy classes because I can't afford to, between time, kids, and money. I can't afford to just go attending classes everywhere. I think we're all on this very interesting sort of precipice of digital content and digital things. And so there, particularly as an international organization, the internet's very exciting. And what else can you guys do with the internet that does that outreach to members? And maybe then it is a thing that England needs a mini ISIS day. does Australia ICES need a mini day of its own and these things?
And all of the instructors would sign up for either of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. England and Australia are probably bad examples because people want to come to these places. But, you know, like, I mean, I have a listener in Turkey. I don't know who she is. I don't know who they are. But, you know.
We are in Venezuela. We are in Colombia. We are in India, in China, we're strong in Puerto Rico. I mean, ICES is truly a global organization. We've got to do better about reaching out and bringing together our globalness.
Globalocity.
Yes.
There's been talk for years about the fact that we're international, but we've never had a show outside of the United States. So, you know, of course there's complications for doing that, and I understand why they haven't, but, you know, that's always something people have talked about.
It's one of those ideas, you know, Kyle and I have half joked, half serious talked about, and I've had some other friends and I have talked about, like, is there a thing where there could be an all online show? Is that a thing that can be done?
And we have talked about that,
yeah.
You know, how to make it and, you know, where people can log in from wherever they are, those that can't afford to be here firsthand,
yeah.
And like a virtual. So it's so much to actually come to the convention, but you also can do a virtual registration.
Yes. I mean, because people are obviously using Facebook Live to sell classes now. You know, you could have vendors who obviously you can't touch, and we all like to touch things with the vendors, but you could have vendors doing demonstrations and then giving you a 48-hour coupon online.
Right.
Or free international shipping for the next 48 hours. And particularly because that's one of the real challenges internationally, is just because you're used to a tool in the U.S. doesn't mean I have it in the U.K. Obviously, there are U.K. tools that everyone in the U.S. wants, and then there's something in China that nobody can get other than people in China.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there are some exciting things that we could, you know, all put heads together with and do more digital stuff that cuts the travel, which frankly cuts the carbon footprint, you know, environmentally. But we can still have a rich, rewarding experience in a new way. We have to think about it not as competing with a show. It has to be something new and separate.
Right. Well, and there's no reason why something internationally has to be what we traditionally call the ICES convention.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
A mini show or something.
Right.
You know, that pulls together Europeans to go to.
Yeah. It's very exciting. You
know, right. I think we've got some, you know, strong representatives in countries that could very easily pull off something like that. But they need to feel invested enough to do that.
Yes.
But, you know, there are great things happening. Nigerian ICES is huge. Venezuela, well, Colombia, that whole area is growing. ICES is growing faster internationally than it is growing in America.
Well, then that is definitely something that needs to be explored.
Right.
Yeah, capitalized on.
And making people feel happy and welcome from all corners, which is difficult. I mean, aside from cultural and language issues, it, you know, like I said, basics applies. I mean, I talk about gelatin all the time. You can't get it everywhere.
Right.
You know, I keep saying on the show, butter in the UK is different than butter in the US.
But we even have those problems within the US. You have pockets in the middle of nowhere still that don't have access to these cake tools, to these cake supplies, to things that in cities we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And again, there the internet helps. I mean, what a big difference since I first started doing this and you had to order from catalogs.
Now we have Amazon.
And yeah. Right. I mean, here.
And then if Amazon doesn't have it, we're like, what?
Okay, we're offended. We're offended. If I can't find the tool I need in a 5-second Google search, I'm offended. Whereas it used to be, let me go find my stack of catalogs and see if anyone's got what I want.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we want it right now. We don't want to wait a week for it. You know, next day delivery.
Why don't I have a teleporter?
So, you know, we're in a brave new world of cake decorating.
Oh my God, that thing you just made? That was amazing.
You are so good at this.
And it sounds like you guys are really thinking about this forefront with ISIS. It sounds very exciting.
I hope, as I say, we've got a great team together and we're, you know, hoping to not turn things around. Just, well, we're back to reinvent and reinvigorate, just like the whole sugar arts world. We are reinventing the wheel.
Well, you know, every once in a while, like we just said.
Changing the fire.
Yeah. Oh, we like fire. Yeah, we like playing with fire.
Yeah, I need a new torch. I gave my torch to Joanne Turca before I left Austin, and I don't have a torch. I don't have a way to burn things. I need a new way to burn things.
You know, when I first started working with Brian years and years ago, you know, he was always had it. Of course, get the big torch. Always get the big torch out, and I like all these years I've survived without a torch, but now. Now Brian got me used to using the torch. Like, oh, the ganache has gotten too hard. Torch!
Torch! Yep.
How else can you make a crashed spaceship cake if you can't make it look burned?
Some of the things that Brian would use it for is like if he was making a pizza cake and you want the cheese to look melted. Torch! You know, you want the bell peppers to look like they've got a little bit of a oven on them. You know, torch.
The pepperoni needs to be brown around the edge. Yeah.
Difference into the realism of what you were doing. And as you know, these days, a lot of people like a lot of realism in their cakes. So those kind of tools really make a difference.
Is this the point in the podcast where we mention the obligatory Mike McCary so I can play the Mike McCary choral sound? In terms of realism cakes, I think there's been one episode where he wasn't mentioned, and so then I mentioned him at the end anyway.
I heard about his exciting new opportunity at his school, right, where he's going to be doing the 4-week course.
Yes, he called in. That's
so exciting.
I've played his ad twice because he called it in.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike McCary here, and we have something new we're all very excited about. We call it Cake Prep, which is a series of multi-week courses held at my shop in Seattle. Each course is designed to be a complete start to finish on a particular segment of cake decorating, with class sizes being kept small at a limit of 6 students. Our first offering is going to be a 4-week course all about cake sculpting. So if you email us at cakes@mikesamazingcakes.com, I can send you a complete outline, and we hope to hear from you.
Excellent.
See? Well,
there you go.
See, people, if you call it
in, then it will happen.
Well, that's kind of a Mike McCary could call in reading a cereal box and I put it on the air, let's be honest.
Cool.
He's the cake god, and we all obey. Although the only thing we don't obey the cake god in is not calling him the cake god anymore. Ha!
Oh my gosh, did you see that Chihuly? Was it Chihuly? Some kind of glass cake.
Yes.
He did recently.
And none of us were sure which one was the cake.
I know. Us two were like, wait a minute, is that the cake? No, no, that's the cake. Holy cow.
Oh, I know. That was wonderful.
Yeah, then he had to post, oh, by the way, this one's the cake. And I only guessed that one because the photo, original photo had it centered.
Right.
So just logically, it must have been the one centered.
Yeah.
Because it could have been the one to the side. It totally could have been. Yeah, I'll have to link to that one, too, because it's like, now it's getting back, like, it's becoming tradition every episode to mention Debbie Gord's towels. Because these realism, these high realism cakes are like, what?
What's and, you know, so Debbie's sweet? Been doing it so long. I mean, really, she's the first person that I ever saw doing the hyper-realistic cakes and still blows me away at least once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike is the cake god. Debbie is the cake queen.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
They need her own sound effect now.
Okay, I'll make a Debbie Gord sound effect. Yep. All right, what should it be? Something regally sounding?
Some
fanfare-y? All right.
All hail Queen Debbie!
Anyway, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning here, so I should probably wrap this up. But unless there were any other announcements or exciting things you guys wanted to mention.
Can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure we could come up with some in the future.
Well, I hope you guys will be on a lot to tell me about the new and exciting things.
I should give that job to James Bender to call in and pump the upcoming ISIS events.
Absolutely do it. I mean, like, it's just a matter of leaving me Facebook voice message. In early shows, I was saying you had to friend me, but apparently, no, you don't even have to have me as a friend. You can, and now you can do it on the Eat the Evidence page as well, which is, that is new. Facebook just added that. That you can leave voicemail. It's harder to see, like, because you know how the way Facebook works, it, if it's not your friend, they don't come up in the same message set. So I have to remember to check frequently. But I always do check, like, right before I start editing an episode, has anyone left me voicemail? But yeah, so it's really easy. It's free. You just go into Messenger and you look at the little top. There's a little phone icon. You tap or click that, depending on what device you're on. And basically, I just don't answer. If I'm online, I decline the call and then it goes to voicemail. And otherwise, I try to make sure I don't have a Facebook window open and it should go to the voicemail. You record it. I think you have to save it. It times out after a minute, but you can leave me several in a row and I can edit them together. So if anyone has anything they want to say on the show, absolutely, please do. Please call it. I was actually expecting more call-ins given that it's free. But yeah, if you are a brand and you have a new thing coming out or you're having, I mean, sales are going to be, it's going to be short term, right? But if you are a brand and you're coming out with a new line of molds, will people go back and listen to the podcast from the beginning sometimes? I mean, someone 5 years from now might come back and listen. So tell people about what you've got going on. I mean, obviously event-specific stuff is, you know, a little bit more timely and sort of passes out that way. But you can still say, hey, ICES always has a convention every year. Come join and be a member.
Right.
Right. Yes.
And I will become a member. I will do that this week.
Yay! Very easy. Just click on ICES.org, I-C-E-S. Be sure to spell it right.
Yeah, well, I'll put a link in the show notes, and as I link to it, I will do it.
Yay. And the $45 digital membership is a great introductory way to get in. We also have a $25 student membership or a $25 associate membership. So if there's someone else in your household or who works with you, they can become an associate.
Your case
actually,
helpers.
The associate membership is 24. It's not even 25.
It just got cheaper. Everybody, run and get that deal.
I know.
As we speak.
Susie's just throwing money out the window. She's crazy. She's like a used car dealer. Join now. Give people a quick rundown. What's in the newsletter that is of interest?
Well, the newsletter coming out is our convention recap. So it's going to basically highlight everything that went on at the convention. On a general month, you will always have tutorials and cake photos. We are working to enhance the amount of content in our newsletters to be more content driven for our members rather than just business information. Of course, we always let you know what the board has done the month before and all of those things. But we are really making a concerted effort to showcase what's happening around the globe in ICES. So people can know when you travel, you always have a friend somewhere in the world, another sugar sister or brother. You can go to events all over the world, not just in your local town. Because when you join ICES, you join the global organization. You just don't join your local organization. Kyla, keep it rolling.
Yeah, so it's a place that you go to as a member to kind of meet the other people that are also part of the ICES family. So there'll be little introductions to new board members. There'll be tutorials, as Susie mentioned. There'll be event listings of things that are upcoming. There'll be, you know, how-tos of running a day of sharing. Or there'll be, you know, just things, articles of interest. So, and as well as that, there will be some things to keep you up to date on what's going on with ICES in general and as a business.
If people wanted to submit articles or tutorials, do you take those?
Absolutely. We will take articles at newsletter@ICES.org. We will also accept, you can send them to the president, president@ICES.org, if you would want to submit tutorials that can go, or to Kyla, to social media at ICES.org. You can submit tutorials for the members-only portion of our website. We have a whole set of member benefits, which include discounts with many of our vendors. There's also currently over 100 tutorials on the backside of the members only section of the website that are there just for our members' use. And we encourage people to send in new things that we can put up there.
Excellent. I should send you like a cake formation or something for each.
Yes.
I could do that. I could send you a little, I mean, it's almost like I have a degree in journalism. That's a thing I have. So I'm willing to contribute if you need content. And I know most things need content, like this podcast needs content.
Right. Always need content. Always.
So people should not be shy about submitting stuff.
Absolutely. No. We need content, and we need it across several platforms. So as Susie mentioned, our social media, our website, our newsletter, you know, these are all opportunities, and particularly, you know, we would love to have that from anybody. So if you're up and coming too and you want to be published, well, you've got a great idea, send it our way. We'd love to do that.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to always be a master level technique. Remember, we got beginners out there too.
Absolutely.
Pull the pleats out.
Yes. See? Pull the pleats out. All of those things have a place. And we would love to have submissions. The more, the merrier.
Well, let's see if we can get all 125 listeners.
Well,
in the future more.
That's a challenge to your 125 listeners.
Two of whom are you guys? So, like,
I would love to see those stories about how you got into ICES if you're an ICES member. You know, I think that would be really fun, especially from some of our charter members or our older members. You know, what was it that sparked your interest and brought you into the ICES family? I think that would be really great to see some of those stories.
Absolutely. And the whole purpose of the member spotlights is we want to spotlight those unsung heroes, not the Wilbur Brand Award winners, not the, you know, not the officers, not the board members, those people at the local that are making a difference at the local level, those ladies or gentlemen that, you know, come early, stay late, that you can always count of, like the Heart of the Club Award that Austin gives out.
Right.
You know, that's what we're looking to spotlight. Those people that really love ICES and do so much for the organization and are never recognized. That's our member spotlight.
Right. And they never put themselves forward. So what you need, if you're an ICES member and you know that there's a person in your organization who's doing that, contact the newsletter and say, profile my member here.
Yes.
Because that person's never going to come forward and say, profile me.
Right.
Exactly.
Because they're busy.
Our newsletter chairman is Cheryl Kemp, right?
Yes, Cheryl with two R's, Cherryl, Cheryl Kemp, Kemp.
Okay.
And again, she's newsletter at ICES.org.
Okay, well, I'm going to put in the show notes links to all of this stuff so that people can, with, you know, a click, just go through and start participating.
Fantastic.
Yay!
And we also need to do a shout out. We'll do a shout out, Kyla, letting people know that we were on this. I bet how many ICES members don't even know about this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as Kimberly has finished editing and is ready to put it out on EPS.
And we sound brilliant, I hope.
Then we'll put it out on our ICES Facebook page so that everyone can listen in.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Because, yeah, I mean, my goal with this is, it's a thing you can listen to, that you can have in your earbuds or on your computer or whatever while you're working, so you don't have to look because we're busy. You know, I mean, sometimes we decorate in front of TV, but sometimes you need to look at what you're doing, but you want music or a podcast or something on. So that's what I hope this is. So yeah, the more people listen to it and participate, I think the better it is for everyone.
Absolutely. And we'll be able to tell them that this is an ICES members podcast.
Yes, that's right.
No pressure there.
No, I seriously will do it as part of the, that's honestly the easiest way for me to remember how to do it is I'm going to have to go find the link and put it in the show notes. And when I do that, I will click the link and
there
do it.
There you go.
So
right. By
the time this podcast comes out, I will be an ICES member unless like the internet crashes. in which case I can't upload the podcast. So, you know, I mean, Right? We just had an eclipse. The whole world could be dying. Who knows what's happening?
You know our membership coordinator, who's an awesome lady by the name of Helen Osteen. I'm sure you remember Helen. So we have multiple ways to get that taken care of.
we have ways of making you join.
Texas works its ways in ICs.
You guys have gone full coup now, haven't you? That's
you know, what's thrilling this year, too, that I didn't mention is we have two international board members, which is a first for ICs. We have Shaneze from Nigeria and then again Oz from Colombia. But that brings a whole different perspective to the board, which is unique.
And good, because, again, it's going to reinvigorate and bring in those ideas because, you know, let's face it, we're all North American. I live in UK now, but, you know, I'm North American enculturated and people think, like I just said, BSG does things in ways that I was like, wait, what, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, every culture's got their way of doing things. And when you take the best from lots of places, you end up better overall.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely more diversity to our board, which is going to be great.
Diversity matters.
Yes, it does.
This podcast from the start was very supportive of diversity in all forms because it matters. And we're all better for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
should we let you go to bed?
Yes, I should go to bed so I can get up in a few hours and go volunteer in the woods.
Perfect.
Awesome. What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Literally, it's to make mud pies with children in the woods. So,
oh, how fun!
I'm taking spare sets of clothing for my children.
Children would get dirty.
Yeah, it's like teaching cake decorating, but with actual mud pies this time.
Nice. Isn't that how we started out? I started out making mud pies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
We ate them. That's why we were
the antibodies.
We could fight germs off from our body because we ate dirt.
Right.
Yes, Robin should never get sick.
I absolutely remember making mud pies, and different consistencies of mud make different shapes of pies.
Yep. That's tomorrow. Myself with my kids and other kids volunteering in the woods making mud pies with the National Trust. So there you go. But thank you guys so much for coming on. And, you know, we can do short updates other times if you want to. If there's anything, like if you have something to say that's more than a call-in, let me know. We can do like a 5-minute thing at some point. You know, definitely anything I can do to help the organization.
Sounds good.
I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys because you guys just took on a whole lot of work.
Don't remind me.
I think, Kyla, it is my job to remind you about.
And then in February, please don't remind her.
No. February, I just bring her a suitcase full of dairy milks and Kinder eggs. Ooh, Kinder eggs.
All the chocolates are belong to me.
Scary contraband Kinder eggs coming into the United States. Okay, well, definitely wrapping this up now. Thank you guys so much, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Kimberly.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors. And you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.